What is up, my love? Welcome to the Love Stands Here podcast. I'm your host, Megan Brianna from lovestandshere.com, and I'm a life coach, a certified eating psychology coach, but most of all, I'm just a girl who really loves Jesus and has spent a lot of time learning how to not only discover my worth through him, but also how to cultivate the characteristics that we're called into in order to live a healthy and purposeful life of love and service. My friend, living in the world can be really tough, and all too often we're taught beliefs and given messages by a broken society that make us feel like we're never enough and our worth is only skin deep. But I'm here to share some good news. Your worth is not in the world, but in God's beautiful word. So if you're looking for encouragement to live and love better, you're in the right place. Make sure to rate, subscribe, and share with your friends if you feel called, and I hope you enjoy today's episode. Love ya. Merry Christmas. Oh my gosh, I woke up this morning and my ears are plugged. I feel like I'm at the top of like the tallest mountain ever or like in an airplane. I can't get them to unplug and I keep... Oh, it's not working. My mom thinks it's allergies, but from burning my Christmas candles, I don't know. That would make me very sad. I didn't think that I was going to get this episode recorded, to be honest, because there's so much that I'm actually in the middle of baking right now. It's Saturday. And I actually did a better job this year than I normally do. Usually I stress myself out to the max, but I've been really trying to focus more on Jesus, on what the season is actually about, and not, I don't know, like my friend messaged me yesterday and she said she was like last minute stress buying, and that makes total sense to me. I feel like for some reason I have this compulsion to continue to buy stuff or make stuff right until the last minute. And it's not because I necessarily need to, it's just like, it's just a thing. I guess it's just a thing that I've done for a long time, but I'm glad to know that I'm not the only one. But I'm not doing it this year. It's Saturday, I have to have everything done by tomorrow, most everything done by tomorrow, and I have no stores to go to. That is kind of a big deal, so yay for that. I know I mentioned before, a few weeks ago now, that I know Christmas is not easy for everybody. And I know it's it can be a really strange time of year, and things have changed a lot since COVID, but it can just be really challenging for so many reasons. Loss, loneliness, you know, you're in a waiting season, you're waiting for something to happen, and the holidays make it even that much harder, because a lot of times we're waiting for relationships in one way, shape, or form. And it's hard to feel any kind of loss or disconnect during the holidays when it's such a relationally founded time of year. I want you to know again that my heart is with you. I have struggled through many a holiday season. This year seems to be a lot better. You know, I've talked about cuffing season before and how when you're single and you're waiting on a relationship, cuffing season is like, when is it? I can't remember if it starts in September, but it's supposed to go through like February, when it's like the season of holidays and it's getting colder outside and you just want to be bundled up and kind of like in a relationship, because most people just want to be home and like isolate a little bit more and hibernate during the winter months. So it's, if you're single, this time of year is even more tempting to just kind of like find somebody to be in a relationship with. And I've struggled with that. And this year I thought I was going to struggle. I think in October, I thought I was going to be that way. But the last couple of months have been great. I mean, I did have a pretty big wake-up call in October because I went backwards a little bit with a couple things. And then I kind of had a smack in the face, like, you're either choosing the world or you're choosing God. And I was like, okay, we're going with God. And since then, I've felt so much better. Maybe I'll get into that story another day, but I'm not going to today. But yeah, I've just been really focused. You know, I got back, I decided to get back to my podcast, which even just making the decision, I've had more peace than I've had for the last year. And I know it's been kind of like super scattered, but I kind of didn't really intend to get back here until the beginning of the year anyway. So we're kind of just throwing episodes out there this year, just getting back into the swing of it and hoping that they are somewhat helpful. So yeah, the holidays are, I mean, I, especially when I was in relationships before, I can't remember specifically the grief that I'm sure I went through in some of my relationships, probably because at this point I'm so far removed. But I know up until this year, it's been a challenge because of the loneliness and my struggle with codependency and healing from that. And God has really brought me to this amazing place where even if I'm not always perfectly content in my life as a single person, I'm definitely more content than I ever have been. And I've kind of stepped into this mindset instead of as soon as possible, like when I pray about the things that I'm still waiting on, which the biggest one is a family. You know, before it was like, as soon as possible, please bring me a husband, please bring me a family, you know, like that kind of stuff as soon as possible. Now I'm kind of just like, as long as it takes, because I understand that the thing that is the most fulfilling in my life is my relationship with God. My church, we now have this new endeavor in church planting. And I think I mentioned before, we're planting a church closer to me. So it's only 15 minutes away instead of 35, which is nice. And it's bittersweet because we have such an amazing community at my church right now. And we're such a big family. And it just really is, it's so special. So it's a beautiful thing because they always intended to be a church planting church, which if you don't know what that means, it's basically just, you know, it's a church that intends to, I mean, it really what it sounds like, plant other churches in other locations and, you know, grow this community of believers and bring more people into faith, teach people the gospel and disciple people and help people understand how incredibly beautiful it is to have a relationship with God and how healing it is and life-giving. So that was always their intention, and we're on an amazing path of doing that. The goal is to start regular church services next fall, but we were basically handed an empty church shortly after they started looking. The church has been empty for a while. It's a small Bible church, and they were pretty much waiting for people to come along that wanted to continue to use it as a church. And I think the state was trying to buy it, but they didn't want them to, or the town was trying to buy it. And so my pastors came along and they're like, here. So we have this space that was just given to us. And if that isn't God, I don't know what is. And so the group of us from Elm City that are in the area and that have been interested in becoming a part of this new church plant, we've been gathering monthly, just kind of more of an informal gathering, and it's been really amazing. And we actually are doing two formal Christmas Eve services tomorrow. We had one planned in the church. I think holds comfortably around like 100 adults, and we had so many people register, my pastor decided to split into two services, which is such a blessing. I mean, this has been a thing for not even a year now, and God is just moving so deeply. And I have some other amazing stuff. God is just moving so much in the lives of the people around me. And there are so many things that I would just love to share, because my heart, I've definitely in the last month felt more joy in my heart than I have ever felt before because of the things that God is doing in the people around me. And it's really amazing. I have been so grateful for the last 5 years for what God has done in my life. But it's just kind of normal that the further you get away from a miracle, even though you remember it and you appreciate it, sometimes you get a little less attached to it. and you know, I truly am so grateful. But I've become a little less emotional about it than I was. But how gracious is God that when we are in a community of believers and we continue to foster those relationships and we continue to talk to people and tell people about the goodness and mercy and grace and compassion and love of God, and we bring more people into the faith, how gracious is He that He continues to show us miracles. He continues to do miracles, and even if it's not in our lives, it's in the lives of the people around us. And sometimes, and it has been my experience in the last month, that is even more a cause for joy than your own testimony. Like something big has happened, and it's something that I won't share because I don't have permission. I haven't talked to the person, the people that it's happened to yet. So, but I'm hoping that at some point in the near future, I'll be able to share. And it might not hit you in the way that it's hit me, but I'll tell you what. I said to my mom after this stuff started happening, and it wasn't just one thing, it's a series of different things. But I said, I remember before God, I was always chasing this happiness and this feeling, and this sense of wholeness and joy. And I've actually been able to get closer to those feelings that I've always longed for in my relationship with God way more than I ever could without Him. But this last month, it's been so insane, like the joy and the wholeness that I've felt, that I was like, I feel like I could just die perfectly happy right now. Like, I feel like I've peaked just because of something God has done in the lives of the people around me. It's incredible. And it's so simple. Like, it's not about power or money or looking a certain way or having a certain relationship or, having all kinds of things. It's just seeing God move in the lives of people around me. And that's what has brought me the most joy in my life. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess I really don't need anything. Just all of that has been happening, and actually being able to see like people come to Jesus, people that I love dearly come to Jesus and have pretty cool experiences with God. And so I don't have like a specific thing that I wanted to talk about today, but I have been thinking about the parable of the lost son a lot. So I kind of want to talk about that, and I want to read it to you. So it's Luke 15. I'm going to read 11 through 21. The story goes beyond that, but this is the part that I want to read and make it make sense. So this is Jesus speaking. He also said, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate I have coming to me. So he distributed the assets to them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered together all he had and traveled to a distant country, where he squandered his estate in foolish living. After he had spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he had nothing. Then he went to work for one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. He longed to eat his fill from the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one would give him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food, and here I am dying of hunger? I'll get up, go to my father, and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired workers. So he got up and went to his father. But while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran, threw his arms around his neck and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father told his servants, quick, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Then bring the fattened calf and slaughter it, and let's celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. 11 through 24. First of all, this is a story that I relate to so much. I grew up in the faith, but when my grandmother died, kind of got away from it. Like, my mom always believed in God, but it was always religion. It was never relationship. So we didn't really understand Jesus in the way that we understand Jesus now. And, like I talk about all the time, I went out into the world and I squandered my spirit, really. And then, you know, I came home, and that part wasn't on purpose, but just the whole idea of the father, when the son was still a ways off, was so excited that he was coming back. And he opened his arms to him, and he did everything he could to celebrate. I think a big part of that is because the son confessed what he did wrong. He knew, he was aware that he messed up. Because I think that's a huge part, well, it is a huge part of redemption, is confession. So if you make decisions and you fall and you break and you're struggling, most of the time, you're either going to play a victim to that circumstance, or you're going to own up to the part that you played in it, and you're going to confess, and you're going to do something different. In my 20s, a lot of the things that I was doing felt good, and I thought I was happy. Like, yes, I struggled with certain things, but so does everybody else. And generally, I was happy. I was, you know, I was, when I was single, I was partying, I was having fun, and I was drinking, you know, I was hooking up with people. And the world tells us that that's normal and that is what is fun and that's what's going to cause happiness. And so I just kind of went along with it and I felt like it was fine. And even in like my toxic relationships, the moments that were good, that kept the relationship going, that were entertainment or lust driven most of the time, kept me in this false reality that I was actually a happy person. And it wasn't until, you know, I was living my life like this for 12 years, and it wasn't until 12 years later that all of a sudden I'm in this pit. And like I had no identity. I remember that darkness I was in. I felt like my soul was hanging out outside my body. Like it, I felt so disembodied. I felt so empty. I had no identity. I was so lost. It was so black. And it was like all of a sudden I was in this place. I was like, how does this even happen? But that's what happens a lot of times when you make a series of poor decisions over and over and over again. You don't see the consequence. You don't see the consequence, not really, not in a big way, until years later. And then all of a sudden, you're in this space and you're like, what happened? And you're looking back at recent things and you're like, or you're looking for one big thing that you did to put you in this space. And a lot of times, it's not there because you don't realize it is a compound effect. It's a series of things that bad decisions that you're making that are going to get you to this place. And unfortunately, it's in these really significant, drastic, dark moments that make or break you. So a person will either go, this sucks. This is a circumstance that happened to me, and I have no idea why. And so I'm the victim to this. And a lot of times they make that victimhood their identity. And that happens because of lack of awareness, lack of support, lack of healthy boundaries, lack of healthy people in their lives. And then there are other circumstances where the person will, it will wake them up. So going back to the parable of the lost son, I love that it says, you know, after he had spent everything, there was a famine in the land, and he went to work for somebody, and he was basically at the bottom of the barrel. And it says, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food? And here I am dying of hunger. I'll get up, go to my father, and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired workers. So he got up and he went to his father. He told him what he had done and he repented. He confessed and he knew it was wrong and he came back. And if there is anything that I could tell you to do for healing and for a healthy life and a life full of love, you know, of course, it's to run full force at Jesus, allow Jesus into your heart and allow God to change you, to transform you, to heal you. But confession and repentance, I think even before I truly knew Jesus, I had a pretty good understanding that being honest with yourself and with other people and forgiving yourself. And although forgiveness was not as easy for me before I had God, and forgiving other people is very, very powerful. Another thing I did not have before God was boundaries. So I forgave people I shouldn't have, or I forgave, and then I continued to let them do what they were doing. And then I would forgive myself and I would continue to do what I was doing too. So just everything's better with God. Like you have this limited understanding. It's almost like you have these morals in your heart because you're human and you are from God. So you have a good understanding. Most of us, unless we're sociopaths or psychopaths or whatever, narcissists, have a good moral compass. But there are limits to where that can go without God. Like you can forgive people, but you don't have a boundary. So like you let them walk all over you, like I just said. There's just so many things. But anyway, another verse of the Bible that I love is James 5:16, and it says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed." The prayer of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. Confession and repentance are just, they're the most healing things in the world. We're sinners. We're always going to sin. None of us are ever going to be perfect. There's not this place that we get to where we're holier than everybody else. It's not like this the sanctification process of God changing you, the Holy Spirit changing you on the inside is not this process where you eventually get to a certain point where you have like this A plus in holiness and righteousness. It just doesn't work that way. We're going to continue to be sinners and we're going to continue to learn until the day we go see Jesus. So because of that, we're always going to have to confess something. We have dirty hearts. The only reason that they're clean is because of Jesus. Jesus is the only reason. That's why all you have to do is believe in Jesus, claim that he's your Lord and Savior. He comes into your heart. God changes you. God transforms you, washes your heart clean. Jesus is the mediator between you and God. So when God looks at you, he actually sees Jesus. And so in order for that to happen, you have to believe in Jesus and accept him into your heart. And then God will see Jesus in you, which basically means perfection. You're washed clean. But in order to continue staying on that path, you have to continue confessing and asking for forgiveness. No matter how many times you mess up, and you're gonna mess up. And the goal is to, of course, when you repent, get to a place where you can like work with the Holy Spirit more and more to be self-disciplined. So when you struggle with something, whether it's porn or toxic relationships or money or power or drugs or alcohol, every time you want to go to that, the desire should happen less and less because you're inviting Jesus into your heart more and more, and you're being changed more and more. And as that happens, your desire for God gets stronger and stronger, which makes the coping mechanisms, all the things that you have used to fill those holes, to fill the voids in your life, it makes those things less desirable because God is becoming more desirable. And you turn to Him when you're struggling with something instead of the coping mechanisms. So I'm telling you, confession, if I struggle with something, it's so easy for me to confess because I know how healing it is. I'm just like, oh my gosh, I did this. I gotta tell somebody. I know it's hard. Being vulnerable is hard, but keeping it inside is a million times harder, and you don't heal that way. So I don't want to make this too much longer, but I did just want to share those thoughts that I had. And it's really incredible when you see, when you have a testimony yourself of being a part of the world and then being saved and being transformed and stepping into this whole new world with God. It's so amazing. But then just seeing the people in your life have that experience is just, it's mind blowing. It's mind blowing. And it's something I won't ever forget. I think that's more incredible than my own testimony. Something else that I wanted to share is I was trying to get on my Squarespace site. I was logging into my Squarespace site because I'm going to get that up and running at some point again, January or February. But for some reason, I was searching in Google or in Spotify instead of like actually putting it into the browser. Love stands here. And it popped up with a song that I had never heard before. And it's Matthew West, who happens to be a Christian artist. And the song is called Love Stands Waiting. And apparently, it's about a guy that he knew whose daughters, when they were younger, they would leave for school or something, and he would ask them, he would tell them or remind them who loves them the most, something like that. And they would point up to the sky because they knew it was God. And then apparently, one of his daughters strayed, and it broke her father's heart. But the lyrics are just so beautiful. Love stands waiting for your return. Love stands hoping that you'll come back from wherever you are. And when you can't stand on your own anymore, love stands waiting. So what are you waiting for? Guilt steals any hope of your return, but grace heals all the bridges burned. So drop that heavy load you bear. Yesterday is behind you, so leave it there. 'Cause love stands waiting for your return. Love stands hoping that you'll come back from wherever you were. And it goes on, but I read those lyrics and I was like, oh my gosh, and this is just God, you know? God loves you so much. He loves all of us so much, so much. And it's so hard. And I'll, you know, this is something that I think is, I don't know why I just feel the need to harp on this every time I'm recording, but I guess maybe for new believers and where I was before, where if somebody had talked to me about Jesus, I would have just not been interested at all. Because it kind of sounds crazy. You know, it seems crazy that there's this supernatural being that actually wants good for you. And it's even crazier because of the way so many Christians have portrayed God. Our relationships with Jesus are very individual, and Jesus is incredible. Jesus is about truth and love and compassion, grace and mercy, and all of the things that we're truly seeking in life. But Christians are also human, and we're also broken. And a lot of Christians act like they're not, but they are, and they get it wrong. And they interpret the Bible incorrectly. The posture of their heart isn't right. And they project what they believe to be true about the Bible. And a lot of times it's incorrect, but God is good. And I think the problem is we talk about all of the things that people are doing wrong instead of first letting people know that don't know Jesus, how much they're loved. That is so important. Before we can truly change, before we can be corrected, we know that we're loved. And so many of us don't understand what that love feels like. We don't understand how to receive love. So we need to know that God loves us before we're really able to be corrected in a way that doesn't make us feel condemned. I'd like to pray for you. Father, thank you for the person listening to this message. I pray that you would bless them. I pray that during this holiday season, if they are facing hardship, if they're walking through a season of heaviness, if they're experiencing loneliness, loss, grief, heartbreak, if they've been in a waiting season for a long time and they're feeling discouraged because the thing they're waiting for feels like it's just taking a really, really long time and they're not sure it's ever going to happen. I pray that you would lift them up and surround them with people that could remind them of the hope and the joy that they have in you and that they could have if they invited you into their heart if they haven't done so yet. I pray for comfort. I pray that you would give them boldness to share the things that they struggle with. I pray that if this person is lost and they've been seeking answers in places that aren't good for them, I pray that you would draw near to them, Father. Surround them with people that could show your love to them and remind them of your promises. I pray that you would bring somebody into this person's life that would make them feel safe and seen and heard, so they would be more willing to open up about their struggles, because we know that confession is so important and it's so healing. And you are the God that sees and you are the God that hears. I pray that you would draw this person into the light, Father, and that they would know you and that they would experience the joy and the hope that is found only in you. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd also like, there's a prayer that I have saved that I got from the YouVersion Bible app. And if you're a new believer,
especially, I would suggest downloading it. The app is just like it's a little brown square and it just says Holy Bible, but it's the YouVersion Bible app, and it's a really good place to find Bible plans specific to something that you're struggling with. So if you're, if you're new and you want to check something out and you're not ready to dive head on into the Bible, you can go to this app and just search in plans. If you're struggling with anxiety, or you're in a waiting season, or you're struggling with depression, or you're struggling in your relationships, there is a Bible plan for everything. And basically what that means is you're reading something that was written to encourage you. It is faith-based and it relates to the Bible, but it's specific to what you're going through. And I think it was really helpful for me transitioning from being of the world and not knowing Jesus and not knowing really anything about Christianity or Christian language, to be able to read something that was specific to what I was going through. So I think I read plans on heartbreak and toxic relationships and anxiety and loneliness and singleness, because they have all of those in this app. And each one of them, like, they'll be different lengths. Like, they might be 5 days or 10 days, but each day it'll walk you through a devotional, which is like it'll tell a story, or most of them tell a story related to something in the Bible, and it teaches you how what you're going through is related to scripture and is a reflection of what people went through in the Bible, and vice versa. So it'll teach you how the Bible and scripture is a reflection of your life and what you're going through. And it's just really helpful. So you're basically reading stories about who, like, the author and what they went through, or the wisdom that they've gained in their walk with Christ, and whatever this is that they're struggling with. Like, if it's anxiety, usually somebody is writing it because they've experienced it. And it's meant to encourage you and give you hope that in Jesus, you can be freed from this. You can be changed, and you can have a different perspective, and God can free you from this anxiety, depression, these toxic relationships, all of that. So it's really, really helpful. And then you also get to read after the devotional, they share scriptures that relate to what they're talking about. And so you do start to dig into the Bible, but it doesn't feel as heavy as it does if you're just trying to read the pages of the Bible. You know what I mean? So anyway, there is a prayer from that app that I copied and I want to share with you for confession, because I think it's really relevant, and it's something that, if you feel like you're struggling with something and you're not ready to tell somebody, you can just talk to God, just personally. So it's, God, I confess that I have not always been the person you've created me to be. I sometimes fail to love you with my whole heart, mind, and soul. I do not always love my neighbors as you love them. Please forgive me, God. Transform my heart and renew my mind so that I can draw closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I pray that you would walk forward into this new year knowing that there is a God who loves you and who sees you and who hears you and who longs to be in relationship with you, who longs to break the chains of the things that you struggle with, whether it's addiction or depression, anxiety, toxic relationships. He longs to draw you near and to change you and to transform you, so you no longer rely on these things or no longer struggle with these things, and know that all it takes is relationship with him for you to experience hope and joy and the love that you've been seeking in potentially places that just aren't really meant for you. And I love you very much, and I hope you have a wonderful new year, and I'll talk to you next time.